To see you again. Amen. You know, I believe that God is a God of hope. God never leaves us hopeless. We are not like the world that has no hope. I want to talk to you about a new season of hope. I was walking the other day around the mall, and I felt these words come to me. I wasn't thinking about it. But the Holy Spirit said, tell my people a new season of hope is coming upon them. That which looks hopeless is going to turn around for their good. And this is the scripture the Lord gave me in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We do believe we're coming into a season of hope, that you will fulfill that which you've spoken in the name of Jesus. Amen. Solomon said that the desire, when the answer comes, is like a tree of life to us. You know, the thing that we've been longing for and believing, it becomes such joy to us. But you know, many times it looks like hope has been deferred. The meaning for deferred means to be drawn out, to be postponed. How many have some things you're hoping for and it seems like they've been postponed? Amen. Just like, who knows, the NFL season might be postponed and you've been hoping for it. But I want you to know God's not the NFL, that God's not the baseball league. God is God. And God is not going to leave you without hope. And he's not going to leave you without an answer to that situation that you're in. Romans 15 to verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Paul says, listen, that hope, the God of hope will bring you joy and peace, and it'll cause you to believe like never before. There were three men that every year they would go up to Canada and they would fish for the 40 and 50 pound walleyes way up in Canada. And they plan it every year and they talk about it and save money. Well, one year they were planning to go up and they didn't get the start in September. They had to go in October. When they got up there, they had not realized that Arctic air had already come on the gigantic lake. And when they got there, the lake was 2 inches full of ice on top. And they were wondering what they were going to do. They knew that the big fish were still under the water, under the ice in the lake. They knew that they were there because they had caught them in years gone by. One of the men says, you know, it's hopeless. There's no reason. There's no way to get through the ice. And he left. And the other two men says, you know what? Those fish are still there. I believe we can still catch them. What do you have in your truck? Well, I have a hammer and I have a saw. So they went out there and they began to chisel away at the ice because they believed and they hoped the fish was still there. And sometimes in this life, when we go to the lakes of circumstances and things in our life, that it seems something is against us. It seems like even though the promise is there and the hope is there, that it's not as, we can't get it to it as easy as we did. But you and I, like Abraham, against hope, he believed in hope. We must chisel away at the ice of life. We must chisel away at the doubt and the unbelief and the circumstance. One man went home hopeless. Two men said, I'm not going to give up. I've caught fish here before. We've seen God move in our lives before. And just because a season came into our life that we weren't expecting, called COVID virus, just because of that and because of other things, doesn't mean that those big 40-pounder walleyes aren't under the ice. Doesn't mean that God's promise still isn't true. We as believers must chip away at everything negative, everything that would try to stop us from doing and getting the promises of God. You see, Two men chipped away. Another went hopeless. And when they got the ice off, they put down the bait and they caught more fish than they've ever caught. And what joy they had. What an analogy to the church in this hour. We can either walk away from the house of God, walk away from prayer. There's no hope. We're consumed with this. Are the schools going to... We can allow that ice to bring such doubt to us. We doubt if even God can turn it around. But these men, and you know what their names were? I don't know, but you know what I'm going to name them? Joshua and Caleb. We are well able. God split the sea. God delivered us after 400 years. God will make a way. But we cannot be spiritually lazy. We have got to do our part. We have got to put on the armor of God. We have got to pray with all prayers and supplications. We have got to have our lights burning and oil in the lamps. And as we individually and as we as the church chip away from doubt and fear and unbelief, there is a harvest of souls waiting for us to draw them in with the net of grace of God's love. Give them a praise if you're on the same page with me today. He's the God of hope. What is hope? Expectation of good. I don't know. We all can get so negative so quick. But God said, I'm going to be the God of hope for you. I love this. God's hope promise. I'm going to read this to you, and I never want you to forget this verse. This is a promise for you and I today. The Holy Spirit quickened this today for you. Isaiah 61:7. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And you'll inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. God's promise to you. God says, you know what? You've been shamed. You've been misused. You've been overlooked. You've been mislabeled. People have talked about you. People have persecuted you. People have tried to pull you down. And God says that brought a shame to you. But God says, because you didn't give up on me, because I was your hope, I'm going to give you a double portion of favor. I'm going to give you a double portion of blessing. I'm going to give you a double portion, and people are going to wonder, why do you have it? That's because you held on. You didn't get a bitter spirit. You knew that God was your deliverer. And God says, get ready now for the double portion, church. Get ready now, because He's the God of hope. Give Him a praise, somebody. God sees it when you're mistreated. God sees it when you're overlooked. God sees it when you're talked about. God sees it when no one wants to be with you. And He says, but because you kept your heart right, I'm giving you a double portion. You're going to be doubly honored. You're going to be doubly promoted. You're going to have a double anointing. You're going to have a doors open doubly than someone that did not. Because He's the God of hope. I don't know what you're going through individually. I know as the church, all pastors are going through this thing. There's a state now that says we can't even open the churches. Thank God they're going to a beach. Thousands are coming and getting saved. I know that God's church cannot be stopped. God says, if you'll press on, if you'll not let fear be your guide, if I'll be your guide, if you follow me. I'm telling you, one of these things, all this mess that's happened this year, it challenges how close really am I to Jesus. How obedient really am I following Him? And it's caused all of us to not be a Sunday morning churchianity, but a true disciple of Christ. You see, God said through Isaiah, because of the shame people tried to put on you, because people ignored you, because people didn't treat you right, yeah, I'm going to double your favor. Many times I've been to different stores and say hi to somebody, and they don't even say anything. They don't even look at me. Many times I've had people just walk in front of me on purpose, rude. And there's other times people, yeah, you know, listen, we're not all treated right all the time. I've had some of my own family. Anyway, you know what? God says, because you kept your heart right, you're going to get a double portion. I said, you're going to get a double portion. You're going to get favor on your job when someone else does it. Your body's going to be quickened twice as wide. Favor, favor, favor. Because you held on. You didn't get into the group of cynics and bitter. Ah, nothing's right. You stayed positive. And it takes discipline to stay positive in a negative world. Hallelujah. And because of that, you are going to get a double portion. Come on, give God a praise again. I just feel His presence today. Oh, this word, I just love it, love it. Now, let's talk about Abraham. You know, we know Abraham was the father of faith, but you know what else, Pastor Deb? He was the father of hope. No one hoped like Abraham did. He's the father of faith, but he also is the father of hope. Look at the scripture. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is the verse. This is the verse. Turn to somebody and say, this is the verse. This separates the men from the boys. This separates a mature Christian from an immature Christian. This separates a religious Christian from a Christian walking in faith. This is it. This is the verse. This is why Abraham was called the friend of God right here. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Hallelujah. What he's promised you, he's able to perform. What he's promised the church, he's going to fulfill. What he's promised your destiny to take place, he's going to do that. He was fully persuaded. Like that ice on the lake that was against the fishermen, they believed they could get through it. Abraham had 25 years chiseling away at that ice. Chiseling away at that ice. Chiseling away at that ice. And so one day Sarah got discouraged and she said, hey, here's my handmaiden. Why don't you go into her? It's like the two men saying, you know what? Instead of chipping away at the ice, let's go to the fish market and buy a fish and take it home and say we caught it. Violation. That set Abraham back again. Aren't you glad God didn't give up on you when you did a few dumb things as a Christian? Oh, this side got it over here. Aren't you glad God didn't give up on you and gave you another chance? Now, you've walked perfect and everything's right. I've had a lot of chances. I thank God it's more than a second chance. Amen. You see, because He loves us enough to give us mercy because He knows our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. You see, Abraham is not only the father of faith, he's the father of hope. Him and Sarah, you know what? All they could do is hold hands. That's the extent of their intimacy. But I guarantee you, God says, you know what, I can change that. You know, God can change your marriage back to the intimacy you used to have, not just physical either. That's for somebody today. So anyway, one day Abraham and Sarah, they're walking. Years later, walking. God had told them, and all of a sudden they're walking by the shore, just talking. You know, as you get older, you know, you kind of just hold hands and talk about the grandkids. They didn't have any. They're just talking about, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to go down to the villages, Abraham, retire, what are we going to do? And you know, Sarah, how's that little thing in your foot? Is it okay? Yeah. Abraham, how's your back doing? I know that, you know, you just took some pain. Are you doing all right, Abraham? Yeah, I'm doing good. And they're talking, and all of a sudden, Abraham reaches over and grabs Sarah's hand. hand, and all of a sudden, zappo, madappo. Something got turned on in both of them. Oh, yeah. See, God is in to restoration. The scriptures tell us the deadness, there was deadness, but God can do anything. I said, God can do anything. He's the God of hope. We're in a situation right now where depression, suicide, all types of things have so increased. People are weary. People have to stay home with their children. They need to work. People need to, you know, they want to get out. They're afraid to get out. People aren't sure what to do. People don't have money to pay their rent. People don't know what they're going to do. I tell you, we are in a place without God. I understand the hopelessness. But I want to tell you that we don't put our hope in earthly hope. Acts 27:20. Now, this is the story of Paul with the ship that he told them don't sail, but they didn't do what he said. But anyway, Acts 27:20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Now, for Paul to write that, it's pretty important to understand why he wrote that. He was trying to let us know there does come circumstances in this life that offer no hope for change. But because we are citizens of another place, we can have a hope that is supernatural. I have hope despite all the things in the darkness. I've got hope. That's why it's so important to get folks in the house of God and get them saved, because they don't have any hope. I mean, we're all hoping this virus would be gone in April. It's still here. We were hoping that all the jobs would come back in July. But guess what? They're slowly creeping back. Well, thank God for that. Earthly hope was taken away. Isn't it interesting how God has brought the church to the place that our hope is not just in technology? It's not just being able to live stream. But our hope goes beyond technology. It goes back to Genesis. My spirit shall not always strive with man. It goes back to Zechariah. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It goes back to the very foundation on which the church was built. You know, sometimes we don't understand how great a foundation Jesus Christ is. He's like a foundation. Say you wanted to, and probably Larry knows about this, laying the foundation. But Larry, wonder if someone wanted to build a 200-story skyscraper, how big that foundation must be. How deep that foundation must be. I mean, I can't even imagine. Is a foundation like a third of the cost of the building? What would you say? Fourth? About a fourth of the building cost? And you know what? Sometimes we don't realize that we have a foundation that is big like a skyscraper, bigger. And sometimes the only thing we can muster up on that foundation is we build a little doghouse. We build a little shed for us, a little shack for us, just for us. This is my life. I know I'm on the foundation of Christ and potentially could reach millions of people by my life or hundreds, but I build my little shack on this foundation. I can see the foundation goes all the way over there and all the way there, but I have my little shack and I hear and I come and go and I go to this church, I come in there, church, and it's just me on this little foundation. We got to think bigger, folks. You and I have not lived the potential yet that God has put within us. You and I have not prayed our best, taught our best, sang our best. We've not witnessed our best. And in this hour of, it seems like we want to just push everybody to be alone, then we run in our little shacks and we're sad, we're depressed, the devil comes, I have no covering, I have no pastoral anointing every week to help me, I have none of that, and the thief comes and devours the sheep. We've got to think bigger. God laid a great foundation for us, for our lives. So it's time to tear the shacks down. It's time to tear them down and think bigger, better, and brighter, because we have a God of hope. Amen. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Our source of hope, Paul said, whatever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Learning. Don't ever become unteachable. We're still learning. You're going to learn through eternity. That we might, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, have hope. Listen, we don't know how long it's going to last. We have to have patience. We don't know how long things are. We have to have patience. And that comfort comes so you don't lose your joy. You don't lose your peace. The Bible tells us that things were written for us to learn. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, listen, the people in the wilderness, they followed Christ. The rock that followed them was Christ. Christ was there. He said, but listen, many of those were overthrown in the wilderness. Many of them in the wilderness didn't make that shift. They went home and said, I'm not going to chip away at the ice. But God has a Joshua and Caleb. Don't you want that spirit in this hour? Sometimes we think we're the only ones that face things that are hard and difficult. But man, it goes through every generation. People face stuff that they didn't want to face. And so we got to just, what? We got to learn from the Scriptures. What did Paul do? What did Timothy do? What did Jesus do during those times? Let me give you one more scripture here. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Everybody say confession. You know, when I was growing up, I was part of a certain church that, you know, you went in and told the priest your sins every Saturday night. So my mom would line us all up. There was 9 in our family, and 7 of us were children. She'd line us all up, and we'd go in there every Saturday night. And I was 12 years old, and one Saturday night, I said, Mom, I do not want to go in there and tell that man my sins. I want to go to the altar and tell Jesus my sins. I think about that now. How did God works in your life? We're not even aware of it. Oh, God, where did I come up with that? And so I go to the altar, and that's the first time in my life I really prayed to God. If I had gone in there, 5 Hail Marys, whatever, and go home, you're absolved or whatever? Resolved? I don't know what they say now. But I went to the altar. I said, God, forgive me. You know, if you look back, there were times God was working in your childhood. You might not even seen it. Might have been a grandmother. Might have been someone who said something to you. And it might have went in, but then it was forgotten. I remember 15 years old, going fishing with my older brother and some of my friends. We're out there on the dock, Cuca Lake. We're fishing at night. And at the time, I was already into music. I already had a band going, all that. And we were just joking around. And all of a sudden, we were looking at stars. And I just stopped and I said, you know what? Someday, I'm going to be a minister. And I go, why did I say that? And they all laughed. And my brother laughed. And he brought that up after I got saved. He said, do you remember that? I wasn't thinking about being a minister. I have no idea where that came from. I wasn't even thinking about it. God preordained you, predetermined for us to find Christ. We still have a choice. God just didn't suddenly come into your life at a certain age. There was times in your life, as a child, teenager, God reached down and pulled something out and you spoke it. And you probably forgot it. Or maybe a song came on about Jesus. Doobie Brothers, Jesus is Just All Right. Or Beatles, My Sweet Lord or something. And all of a sudden, you know, it wasn't a lot, but it might have been just a little bit of something shifted, started shifting. Because see, God was, he wasn't working just when you got to the altar. He was there when the sperm and the egg came together, and he threaded us and put things in us and our personality and our desires. You see, what are we going to do now? We got to make sure our confession lines up like the two fishermen that had to break the ice. We can do this thing. It's not going to be easy. I mean, I lived 19 years in upstate New York and then 21 years in PA. I know about ice. The ice is hard, folks. And breaking through an inch or two of ice is very difficult. Now, today they have modern saws, but you know what? There's nobody in here that was dealt an easy life. There's nobody in here that has it easy all the time. And just when you plan and think, you come to the lake and that ice is there. But you have to remember the summer before you caught 10 walleyes over 40 pounds. The three summers that, and that's how you remember what God did you with us in certain situations that causes us to have hope for now. But one of the things in this hour we must keep lined up with the Word is our confession. Confession of hope, Hebrews 10:23. We're going to start to close with this. You can play some music. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it wavers not, for He's faithful, the promised. We all got stuff we're believing God. We've all, these last 6 months, 8 months now, got up in the middle of the night. God, what are we going to do? We've all wondered. But if you and I will resist what happened to that third fisherman and grab the spirit of Joshua and Caleb, who were facing giants, facing walled cities. And even though their fish, their promised land, their grapes were in that thing, they still had to chip away unbelief. You and I cannot get lazy in this hour. We have to cast down imaginations, and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have to put on the armor of God. We need to run to prayer. This isn't a time. We're not in heaven eating angel food cake. I hope they have carrot cake there, but anyway. What is our confession? Can we stand up this morning? Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all hope to rise within us. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will cause us to chip away at the negative things, the doubt, things that even others say about how deep the ice is. For we know you've met us in times past. We've caught those fish before. They're still there. Your promise to us individually and as a church is still there. So we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Give God a praise, would you?